Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
We've got a special guest in the studio. He hasn't been in for a while, but last time you were in, Jonathan Bacon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You had one job, and now you've got... They've got rid of you, that job's gone, and now you're doing something completely different.
Yeah, and last time I was in, you had different microphones and different carpet, and I've got a bit of a posture issue here. I'm trying to sit in a way that I can speak into this thing properly. Is it working?
It is, it's working very well. Do you know what, it's funny you should say that. Whenever I used to sit at a dinner table when I was a young child, my stepdad, Des Gallup, he was a lovely fella, he used to always say to me, sit up straight, Nipper, as you'll get a Charlie on your back.
A what?
A Charlie. That's what he used to say.
Charlie means different things to different people, doesn't it?
Yeah, not that Charlie that you're thinking of. So come on, tell us about your new role.
Well, it's not that new now. I was appointed in October, I think it was, to lead up the children's services brief in the council. So that means children's care and particularly important at the moment, education.
Yeah. It is. It's in the news a lot as well, isn't it?
It isn't, but rightly so, because, well, where to start? But we know we've got problems with our education system. And the problem that's been talked about a lot is that we have too many empty spaces in our primary schools, and in due course that will follow through to our secondary schools. And why that is an issue is because at the moment the national funding scheme means that schools are funded on the basis of how many pupils they have in the school. So they get X thousand pounds for each pupil. So it doesn't matter how many physical spaces there are there. If the children aren't there, they don't get the money. So some schools have got a classroom that's half full, so they only get half the money that they would normally get for that room. And where they've got many other things to do in the school to support and fund, that means why we're hearing a lot, and rightly so, that schools are struggling and some are potentially entering deficits. Schools that have big estates, large playing areas and so on, are really struggling to support those facilities just because of the funding system means they do not get the money that they would to support the school at its full capacity.
Okay, so, I mean, that to me sounds like kind of common sense, but just coming back before we get to that bit, you mentioned there's not the people or not the youngsters to go around. Is that because we're having less kids? Is it as simple as...
It's a birth rate thing.
Yeah, so basically if there ain't the kids to go around, then obviously you've got to make some adjustments, haven't you? That's common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can obviously look and predict to children being born today and when they're due to go into school in 4, 5, 6 years' time and see that the problem is not going away, it's getting worse.
Mm.
So something needs to be done about that. And fundamentally, the cure for that, distasteful as it is closing some schools. So those schools that remain are fuller and therefore better funded. But what's happening, it's become a much wider picture, because cutting across this and why essentially nothing was able to happen last year, we've now ended, or Hampshire have left the partnership for children's services that they had with the Isle of Wight Council, that you might recall was put in place by government 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago, because the Isle of Wight Children's Services were performing incredibly badly at that point, and so they needed help. So a partnership with Hampshire County Council was created. That came to an end in January this year. So we had the transition process. But while I think some people were saying, this is a risk, this is going to be trouble, it's actually a massive opportunity. We now have a team, a new leadership on the officer side for children's services, a new director, a new head of education, new head of care, who's starting on Monday. And they are entirely island-centred. It's not that 10, 20% of their time is being applied to the island and they're working elsewhere. They're entirely focused on the island. And so that gives us a massive opportunity not just to look at this particular issue with places, but also to look at the other issues in island education. We know that island schools in terms of standards, performance, are not performing well on the national scale. What can we do about that? Part of it is going to be creating better schools that are essentially better funded, better able to provide services to the children. But also, we can look at other things that are causing issues at the moment. There's a whole list of them, which are going to end up in essentially a new education strategy, which I've asked to be created, which is going to come forward in a few months' time. So we're looking at things like literacy levels in primary school. There are a number of projects running at the moment. We want to heighten those, support them. Supporting the preschools, preparation for school. It's one of those things that you see in the press now. Children are not ready to go into full-time education. You're getting children entering primary school still in nappies. That's not right, because if nothing else, it means that staff time is taken up. You have to have two staff to take the child away, change the nappy, when they should be looking after them in the classroom. So we've also got an attendance issue, but that one issue in relation to that is the quality of the curriculum, the school's ability to deliver a more interesting curriculum for those who are not necessarily academically minded, who aren't just there to pursue exams, which is the primary test of a school's performance. But there, you know, we know there are lots of young people whose skills lie elsewhere who benefit from more for vocational study, doing different subjects at schools. Enriching the curriculum in that way will mean that those children realise school is important. They should be staying there, not skipping school because exams mean nothing to them. I could go on, but the main one as well that is really causing a drain on schools' resources is their ability to support special educational needs. Some work is being done on that already. A new project was launched last November to transform the delivery of special needs education. But we need more facilities, perhaps some bespoke facilities, and that really is at the top of the list alongside dealing with places as well. So I've gone on quite a bit, but just to try and give the picture that, yes, we are looking at a situation where school closures are almost inevitable this year, well, coming through next year, but it's within the wider context of a plan, a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, whatever it'll be, to improve the quality of education on the island and therefore improve standards and thereby improve the opportunities for our young people.
Well, I don't envy your job at all, because you've just painted a picture there that obviously needs quite a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but yes, it was very daunting to be asked to take this on. But looking at it and just stepping back a little, as I say, the thing is, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
We've been tootling along on the bottom of the standard scale for a very long time, and that's not really been addressed, worked on, partly because we've not had a team in the Isle of Wight Council entirely focused on the island.
That will make a massive difference.
It will make an enormous difference. And as I say, it's really, it's an opportunity to look at the entirety of our educational provision on the island. And so, daunting initially, and challenging certainly, but it's the right time to do it, and we should grab that opportunity and make the best we can.
Who's involved, and is it helpful? Let me ask this first. Is it helpful at the moment that you've seemed to have a few people that want to play political games with this particular topic? And I look at it and I think, you're not helping. All you're doing is putting your poison out there, which is causing loads of bad feeling. You're causing loads of arguments, because people will then go and argue who's right, who's wrong, and so on. And while all this is going on, you know, the problem is still there and they're not being resolved. So, you know, it can't be helpful having, you know, people like your MP, the lady that he's now involved, the National Minister for Education and so on. I can't remember what her name is, but she's now putting stuff about and saying how bad it is and so on. And I'm thinking, yeah, we know that there is a problem, but why don't we all sit round a table and discuss it rather than discuss it publicly to try and score points to possibly get re-elected? And I chuck in there, the unfortunate thing is you've got the lady, I can't remember what her name is now, the lady that is up for re-election soon, has also chucked her weight behind this as well. And I'm thinking, okay, you might be very nice, you might be very good at your job, but this is not helpful by having these discussions in public, talking to the media and so on, when you should be around a table all together trying to work out what we do to go forward rather than trying to score points off of each other. That's the biggest bugbear that I have, and it really does grate. And I say to those people, grow up, because you need to look at what's happening. What's happening is we've still got the problem. You can shout your mouth off all you like and score as many points as you like off of these kids that are now in situations where they may be struggling because the system has letting them down in some places. But also, I'd like to say, this isn't a dig at schools or people that are in schools working. I think they're probably working harder and longer than they've ever worked before.
Absolutely.
With a system that is probably 25, 30 years out of date. And now, like you say, it's a perfect opportunity to put something in place for the future. You can't fix something without breaking it. So maybe you've got to break a few eggs to go with your bacon.
Everything you say, I wouldn't disagree with a word of it. Politics and education are not a good mix, but we have a system in this country where the two are entwined. And we have to take it forward in that way. But what I've been trying to do the last few months that I've been in post is to speak to as many people as possible and just say, look, this is about everyone working together to sort it out. And yes, people can say, well, you should have done something last summer. Well, maybe we could, but it would have been just scratching on the surface. We didn't have that and if Hampshire's just announced their intention to leave during the middle of that process, I really worry what might have happened. I think there'd have been an absolute car crash. So in a way, we dodged a bullet by not having that process running from last summer. Yes, some of the problems with finance and so on have increased in the meantime, but what we're able to do now is going to mean we take, much I dislike the word, a holistic approach. We look at everything, all these other issues, bring them in and deal with everything together so that, for example, if say a school premises has to close down, can't operate as a school, what do we do with it? We haven't got teacher training on the island. One of the ideas is if a premises is freed up, we actually create a teacher training facility on the island, increase the opportunities for people to enter the profession. There's, as you say, there are amazing people there. They're working far too hard. And some of the work they have to do is taking them away from, you know, like changing nappies, taking away from what they should be doing. But if we can create a better environment for the teachers to work in, for the children to be educated and support that, as I say, with extra support for special educational needs, extra support for training and so on, it's all to the fore. But to come back to your point, yeah, politics doesn't work with education. I've spoken to a lot of people. I've spoken to governors, head teachers. I've spoken to staff at schools. I have spoken to our MP. Yes, he has been saying an awful lot. I think I've put him right on where we're going. He will carry on saying things, I'm sure, and he is rightly concerned about education on the island because we have this issue with standards. But I'd hope that the energy is now directed to supporting the work that is going on rather than just saying, well, you could have done something last year, or this is, well, or people can read it if they want to. I don't want to go backwards, I want to go forwards.
Absolutely right, and it's time to go forwards, it really is. But it's also time to sort of pull up some trees and make some big changes. Do you know what I can't understand? I can't get my head round. And I'm not the cleverest person, but I've got loads of common sense. And I do feel sorry for certain people that have to go and travel halfway across the island to get to school. In my day, and I'm going to sound really old now, but in my day, I lived on Pan, and we started out to Barton, okay? And when we finished at Barton, we went to Downside, and then we went to Medina. We didn't get the option to go to Sandown or Ryde or, you know, and so on. And you just think, that was so much easier, and this has such a knock-on effect that possibly people are not aware of. I ask young people that come into Vectis Radio, and this is just a few. Some people come from freshwater. Some people live just by the school. So the difference is, if they can get up at 8:10, have a quick breakfast and go off to school, be there for 9 o'clock, you're getting extra sleep. If you're coming from Freshwater, some of these kids have to get up at 6:30 and leave the house. That's a good hour and a half, almost 2 hours difference. That, to me, will make a difference to a person going to school's life. Mm. And I know in the end, that's what jobs are like. You know, that welcome to the real world. But when they're young, I mean, I used to feel sorry for the kids that came from Wroxall and Ventnor when I went to Medina. I was a 20-minute walk away. They had to get up at 6:30. The difference is, OK, I'll bet you all those kids were a little bit more savvy and a little bit more grown up by the time they'd left school and managing their time better and able to get up and go to work and so on. So it's got a good effect. It's got a knock-on effect. But I'm also thinking, if you've got to travel halfway across the island and your day is an hour and a half of travelling where the kid that's next door to him is in the classroom is getting up and having so much more sleep and getting up later and so on, that makes a difference. How come there's so much choice for people to say, I don't want to go to the school near me, I want to go somewhere else? And I know that
it's because the system's changed from when you and I were at school and Victoria was on the throne and we had an empire and so on. It was a different system, and policy has changed. There are two points in what you're saying.
Can I just finish my point as well? Because there is another knock-on effect, yeah. And this is you wearing your old hat as well. Because you were into the, you know, let's keep it green and on. If you've got that situation in place where people are going to the correct school, the school nearest to them, there's less people using fuel, buses, and cars on the road. People are on foot. That would be better for the island. It would be better for the environment. So that's the whole shebang. That's the vision I see. And that's the vision I grew up with. And I think, why has it changed? The reasons why it's changed is because people have got more choice. And the sad thing is, by having more choice, it's given us more problems. And the problems are there for everyone to see.
Yeah, you're amazing at answering your own questions sometimes.
Perhaps I should be a politician.
But I have suggested this to you before.
I know.
The fact that there is now parental choice is a difficulty for planning. One thing that is being fed into this system is issues with transport. School transport is a massive drain on council resources, has to be done. But where you have that ability to choose schools and potentially have that paid for, then, as you say, it overlays the basic system that you or I might have grown up with. It's that choice. But the worrying bit of what you said is where children have to do that. Part of this process, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, is to try and ensure that we have the schools where they're needed. Now, that's not going to be practically possible with some issues. Then, you know, secondary schools, it's not viable to have a secondary school in the West Wight. It's why we have three at the moment in Newport, just because of the population levels on that part of the island. But in terms of primary schools, we need to try and ensure that the schools serve the community. I mean, one thing that was being shouted about last year, I think a certain MP said this, we just closed the small schools because they're not viable. That's a very dangerous thing to say, because a number of those schools serve their communities. They are peopled by the children who live in that area. And that would be an absolute disaster to close schools like that that serve their local communities. Some schools, however, are populated from all across the island for whatever reason, and maybe have a very few pupils living in that particular village area. Is that a good use of resources? So you're absolutely right. And the fact that parents can suddenly say, I'm afraid it happens, I've had an argument with Mother B, I don't want to be at this school anymore, I'm moving my child elsewhere, and there's a space available so they can go there. The fact that there are spaces available almost feeds the ability to do that.
Sure.
But it's part of the system. We're not going to change that. That's a national thing. It's what we have to operate within. But it adds an extra layer of difficulty.
There's also the other side of the coin is mum wants little Jimmy to go to that school because that school's got a better, what she feels is he's going to get a better education there than he is at the school that's nearest. And I look at it and I think, well, can't we make that school as good as that one? And shouldn't that be happening anyway?
Do you want to come and help me do this?
I'd love to.
Again, that is exactly it. You know, sometimes choices are made for individual reasons, as I was indicating, and they're not the best reasons. Sometimes they are made for good reasons, but where you have that differences in standard, and sometimes it's due to the fact the school is struggling through a lack of resources, financial issues. You know, part of this, we need to try and... I was almost going to use the phrase "levelling up," which is a bad thing to say now because it just
levelling
doesn't work.
Levelling up, yeah, does it
exist? But if you can bring all schools up to the same standard, the best standard possible, not just an average, then the choice, you take out that element of choice that is disruptive, shall we say?
Yeah.
That's. You're never going to get away from it completely, though, and you're never going to be able to avoid it in planning.
Do you think we've been a bit soft over the years by allowing people to say, oh, you've got more choice now, you can go to that school if you want, and if you don't, they're going to moan about it, and then, you know, you look bad because you haven't given me what I want. Whereas in the olden days, as we referred to earlier on, it was a case of, well, it was a given. If you lived on Pan, you went to Barton. Or if there was not enough spaces, you went to Node Hill, which is nearer. You know, avoiding all sorts of issues with traffic, more traffic, and so on. Mm. You know, to me, it's just a no-brainer. It's just common sense. But I can see the argument of, and I know this is where parents will argue the fact that, yeah, but he gets a better education there, and that's not right. I want my son to get a better education. Yeah, let's bring them all up to a standard. Earlier on, you mentioned something, and I thought, I love the sound of this. You've got a facility, or there is going to be a facility for teacher training. Now, wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's a hope, I'd say. It's one of the things I'd like to see there.
Isn't it a necessity?
I would think so, but it depends how everything else goes. But if we create space and we can support it, I would love to see a teacher training facility on the island.
It would be good for so many reasons. Yeah. I mean, I don't need to point them out, but just in case. You know, if you've got a teacher training facility and you've got some, you know, teachers there from the top schools, the ones that are doing well, the people that the schools that aren't doing quite so well, they can learn so much from those kids. What are you doing to get your figures up? What are you doing to create all this wonderful stuff in your school? We want to do the same. It's going to have a knock-on effect. It's a win-win situation. Who's the person that's going to say no to that, and how do we get that in place?
Yeah, well, one model that I've been looking at, went to a conference at the end of last year, a National Education Conference, is really to, again, maybe sounding a bit altruistic, but getting much more co-working between the schools at, but not just schools, everyone involved in education. There are a number of areas around the country have things called education partnerships, where the schools literally all come together and talk to each other. It also involves college, youth club, whatever, anyone who has a link with the school-aged children. And there can be, and that sort of unity of purpose and agreement and strategy can have a massive positive effect. There are very good examples in Birmingham, Camden. Camden Education Partnership has massively increased performance and standards in that part of London. And it's a little way down the line for us. We've got a few basic jobs to get done first, as I was saying earlier. But something like that, bring it into the way the education system operates here, could achieve that sort of thing you're talking about. I've certainly floated the idea. No one's saying no, but they're saying, you know, one thing at a time. We're ambitious, but if we're over ambitious too soon, we don't want to crash and burn. But yeah, it's definitely an idea that has worked elsewhere, and I think would work here. We do have an element of it. We have the thing called the Cultural Education Partnership. Obviously, that's focused on a particular part of our education system, as the name suggests. But I've spoken to a guy called Gavin who leads that, and just said, you know, there's the beginning.
It's not Gavin Williamson, is it?
No. You know what I'm like with names. I can't think who Gavin Williamson is.
Yeah, he was the one that was fired.
No. Moving on. But no, Gavin Stride, and he heads that up. And yeah, so there's some really good work that is going on that we need to build on. And as I say, we could do that by having a partnership where bringing together all the schools, all the those involved in education on the island. So you're really having oversight and guiding children through from preschool to college. And the college has got amazing plans that will support what's happening, but also give children much greater opportunity and ambition as to what they can do on the island. Because I think that's been a problem in the past as well. But if some of the plans that come through, even just 10% of the plans that come through at the college, they're doing at the college come through, it'll be amazing for our young people. This is a real time for opportunity, I think.
Do you know what I'm getting from you? And I know that when I spoke to you,
feeling,
no, not at all. When I spoke to you back in, when did you get the job?
October.
Yeah. And we spoke. I don't know. You'd only been given the role, I don't know, 7 days before, and we had this conversation, and you just sort of, I asked you a question, and you said you didn't know yet because I'm not sure. Mm. I won't say what the question was. And I came from that, and I thought he's going to weigh this up and see how it's going to go. And here we are, X amount of months later. You've been weighing it up, and you're putting stuff in place, and it sounds promising. It sounds positive. And I would feel that if my son was still at school, if my kids were still at school, if my grandchildren were at school, I would feel comfortable with you doing what you're doing, because it sounds like you're doing the right thing. You're involving all the right people. You want to set up the right things. You realise that there's a problem. There's been a problem for years. We need to fix it. It's not necessarily a local problem here. And I think we go back to the issues that have been in place for a long time. We've got a school system that isn't fit for purpose, and it needs to change. It needs to modernise. Kids need to be... you need to reach them. You need to be able to talk to them. And, you know, it's not like, right, we're doing science today. Everyone's doing science and so on. Some people haven't got an interest in science, couldn't give a hoot about it, and so on. So we need to find ways of engaging with those young people. It's far harder than it was 30 years ago because we had a thing called discipline, which was great. You're going to learn this. Get on with it. We haven't got that anymore. People have got rights.
If you go into politics, are you going to stand for reform?
No, not at all. Not at all. We have to find ways of engaging. I mean, we've got...
This is what I was saying. The particular problem we have on the island in that regard is the secondary sector. When things suddenly become focused on GCSEs to the exclusion of everything else, and GCSEs are not the right route into adult life for some children. Academia is not the right route, and there's so much potential that is potential being wasted from that focus that the schools are almost forced into. Primary, it's not so much an issue. Children are still keen to learn. Everything's exciting, everything's interesting, and they want to know new things. When you get into the teen years, that changes a bit. Why am I doing this? How is this going to help? I'm not interested in this. I want to fix cars. I don't want to know how an oxbow lake forms in my geography class or whatever it is. And yeah, just allowing that breadth of focus in the secondary schools, having the facility capability to do that, I think will be a massive bonus. And if the schools want a reason to do it just to get their figures up, it will massively help attendance, I think.
Yeah, and so I was going to come on to, I wasn't really going to talk about this today, but we haven't got a massive amount of time. So, you know, I was going to talk about that there are pockets of areas on the Isle of Wight that young people are causing problems and so on. And you think that they're kind of people that I'd love to sit in a room with them, not to discipline them and not to give them a hard time, to just say, hey, look, you know, talk to us. Tell me where you do what you do. And it will probably be because they're not engaged enough in certain things. No one's reached them. No one's touching them with stuff. Hey, look, you could do this. You don't have to do that. You know, but they've gone I don't want to say bad, because I don't think kids are bad. I just think that, you know, they've got distracted because they're bored with what's in place. And I say that that needs to change so that they get some kind of involvement. You get them more involved, you don't have so many problems. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things there is yeah, a few years ago, council cuts just been ongoing for 13, 14 years, and our youth services were decimated. And that is a part of the system. Part of the problem is that ability to offer children something outside school to help guide them, have those sort of discussions. It's very bitty on the island, but it's working in my ward, Brading Youth Club. Amazing. They're doing some amazing projects there, getting children engaged who might be doing other things if they weren't. And particularly in the Bay, I attended a youth awards ceremony in December. I think it was December Trouville Hotel, I think it was. But some of the stories there about what those young people are doing, where they'd come from, and doing things like non-contact boxing, giving that sort of, I don't like the word discipline so much, but that idea of something to work towards and think about, and yeah, a form of discipline and training of the mind. But it was really helping. There's some really inspiring stories there. And where that is happening, I'd say there's particular focus on it in the Bay. I know there's also work in Ryde and I think in Newport as well. But yeah, it really helps. And if, again, that can be linked into this overall idea of improving the quality of what we can provide for our young people, but what they need and what they want, not just what the statistics require at the end of the day.
That's the thing. And I'm a great believer. I love what we do here with the 4Ps because it gives young people a voice. I get quite annoyed.
And I hope the 4Ps will be part of it as well, because, you know, I talked about literacy, and it's something actually Gavin said to me. Part of that is oracy, which is a word I wasn't really familiar with before he came up with it. But, yeah, it's not just about reading the spoken word, but the ability to speak, communicate orally. It's part of that preparation for life and engagement with the world. 4Ps does amazing things, and there's definitely a role for the 4Ps in all this.
We'd love to be a part of that, because, as I say, it also acts as we give people a voice. So, you know, one of my biggest bugbears is we don't talk to young people. We don't ask them, hey, look, what do you want? What do you want? We just assume and we put it in place. And, as I say, it's a great opportunity to do that. I wanted to talk about the new school, the educational, was it the SEND? Is it SEND? That's what it's called.
Special educational needs.
Was there a school that was being banded around that was going to be built in Carisbrook. Is that still going to be the case?
There's still plans for that. We still need to look at our SEN provision. We're also looking at the potential for a facility using the old studio school in East Cowes as well. And there are discussions about that. You've probably seen something in the media
recently. Yeah.
But again, yeah, those are things that have been in traction for a little while, but again, there's got to be a bigger focus, because there are a lot of children in mainstream education who need a bit more support and help, and the schools are just struggling to give that. So yeah, there are specific provisions, but there's a wider picture as well of just looking at the entire mainstream system to make sure that everyone has the ability to achieve their potential and be supported.
Do you know what I like? The one thing that you have, I mean, there's a couple of things that I've really liked of what you said, and it fills me with confidence, and that is it's a great opportunity. It really is a great opportunity to move a few things down, maybe pull up a few trees and put something down in place for the future, because you've recognised that we need to change. And what I also like about you, Jonathan, is that there's no political nastiness out there saying what other people are. And I say to those people, once again, just pack that in. If you've got something to say, sit around a table and make a difference. Don't use it as a political tool to get re-elected or to get some points, because all the time you're doing that, young people and their future and their school life is struggling.
And that, if you've got the energy to do that, you've got the energy to help and push this forward. Rather,
and the time.
And the time.
Yeah. Talking of which, we got to go. But thank you. Thank you for being there.
That went very quickly.
It always goes quickly when you're around. Is there anything, just very quickly, obviously, is there anything you wanted to say before you, is there anything else on the horizon that we should look out for?
Oh, I'm sure there are loads of things, but I think we've probably covered enough, haven't we?
Will you come back at some point in
Absolutely, always happy to come in.
Yep. Excellent. Well, good luck. And shout if you need anything.
We're going to be we're going to be starting a lot of public engagement and consultation about what the plans. In April, we're going to be organising some public sessions, and they're about getting information out there and listening. So it'd be nice to come back and talk when that's going on. When we've formulated ideas in more depth, there'll be a second round of that during the summer term. We'll start making decisions September. That's crunch point. But we want to have as much engagement and listening to people about what they want to see and what ideas that leads to before we get to that stage. Very different from what happened last year for anyone who was following it. So I'd say we're entering 6 months of talking, listening, particularly listening now. So it'd be really great to have the opportunity to, when that is going on, to be back on the radio.
And some people might say, oh, well, why are you doing all the talking? They've got to. You've got to discuss things. You've got to know how people feel and what they want.
Yeah.
So I welcome that. Thank you for your time this lunchtime. I really appreciate it.